without liquor.
Welcome to this episode of Laughing Without Liquor, a woman's guide to living it up without the booze. Join your long-term recovery hosts, Lane Kennedy and Tamar Medford, as they have insightful conversations with others on an alcohol-free journey. We're glad you're here. Now let's dive into this episode.
Laughing Without Liquor. The content presented on the Laughing Without Liquor website and podcast is for informational purpose only and not intended to diagnose or treat disease. Before making any changes to your nutrition or supplementation, please make sure to check with your physician or healthcare provider. Laughing Without Liquor podcast is for general information purpose only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including or giving medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition that they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare profession. So we're just letting you know that we're here sharing our experience, and we want you to take your health serious. So that's our disclaimer. Enjoy the show.
It's time to spray.
Let's spray it.
So refreshing.
So good. I'm hanging out with my friend Tamar Medford.
And I'm hanging out with my friend Lane Kennedy.
And we get to hang out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us and having us in your ears. I am so grateful, Tamar. Are you?
I am.
Yeah.
Because we're not alone today.
No. We have a fellow biohacker, human performer and optimizer, just overall good guy. I mean, seriously, good guy on the show with us. He has a company called Zero Oats. I know him through optimizing and my kind of super crazy health world. Hunter Williams, welcome.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to be here. I think we're gonna blow the lid off some stuff today. So
blow the lid off. Let's start with a little gratitude table topic. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Who's your best friend and why? Dun dun dun.
If I say my best friend, I think I'd get in trouble if I didn't say it was my girlfriend. But she is my best friend, and that's why I date her, because she is my best friend and my girlfriend at the same time. So I would say my girlfriend, Taylor.
So you're just winning points. you're like that guy that's really cool.
Well, is that so much to ask, though, when we date someone or we are in a marriage or whatever? I think everyone should at least, obviously you have struggles in a relationship, but you should be with your best friend, because otherwise what are you doing? You know,
100%. Like
you're just, you know, biding your time. So
150%. Oh God.
All our listeners are like, yes, right now.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Tamar, do you want to answer?
Yeah, I would have to say my partner as well. Because, well, she's a saint. I mean,
yeah, she is.
You know, somebody that has given back in such a profound way, it's hard not to love her. And just like, she makes me want to be a better person. So I agree with you, Hunter. It's like when you meet these people and you meet your person, like this is really the first time in my life I can say that a partner is a best friend. Because I've never had that before, right? That you can share anything with. And I mean, you know, I have multiple best friends, because I'm very fortunate to have so many amazing women in my life. That's for sure. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Best friends. I mean, okay. Partner, marriage, whatever, that is a given, I feel like. And then I have, I'm thinking of my bestie that it's been over a decade that we've been friends. And we both have kids and we hang out together all the time. And then I have a best friend who lives down in Palm Springs that I don't get to see very often, but I just love him and he loves me unconditionally. Like I have these deep authentic relationships that they're, I can't live without them. They're my best friends. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for them. They listen to me. How about that? People who listen with an open heart.
That's always a win.
I know.
And people who give you that safe space to be you. I think that's really when you found a best friend. You know, I've had one since we were 14 years old and we're still going strong, but just those people in your life that give you that safe space to really be you.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
So, you know, if you're still listening, thank you. It's a little journey. Because we're not talking about best friends today. We're talking about the magic of peptides and getting your life completely, optimally healthy. But when you get yourself physically healthy, you connect with this power that is greater than you. And so that's, I'm really fired up for this conversation because this is, I used to talk about God all the time or source or the universe or whatever it is. Hunter, how did you find this connection with, we'll start with peptides.
So as you know, through the grapevine, I met a guy probably almost a decade ago now named Jay Campbell. So I started out of college. I got my real estate license. I didn't want to work for anyone else. When I graduated, I said, okay, so I'm going to get my real estate license. You can start your, you know, own business, quote unquote, and then go out and start doing stuff. So I got my real estate license when I was 23 years old. And in doing so, I listened to a lot of podcasts, and this was back in like 2016. And I heard this guy named Jay Campbell on a real estate podcast, but he was talking about health optimization stuff and how important that was if you were an entrepreneur or a real estate agent in order to like how well you do your job. And I was like, well, I'd much rather listen to this because real estate's like just a means to an end for me to pay my bills right now. And I'm just trying to make money and, you know, like get an apartment and stuff. So, but anyway, I started listening to him and that kind of got me into this world of like biohacking and stuff, which is kind of funny because if you know anything about it, usually Jay's like the last person people find in that world because he's got a smaller audience, but I actually found him first through real estate and ended up like getting to know him and his content, whatever. But one day he sent an email, this is, you know, years back. And he said, like, at the bottom of the email, hey, if you read these emails, like, hit reply and, like, share your story with me or something like that, because I read everything. I was like, oh, let me send him a thank you letter because I've read all of his books, and there weren't as many then as there are now, but I've read all his books and all his articles and stuff online. And it was really cool because a lot of, like, what he was talking about was much more, I think, like, nitty-gritty applicable as far as, like, you could read stuff. Whereas a lot of people in the podcast world, they give you like these platitudes and these like sayings and stuff, but they never really give you everything. They kind of like dangle the internet marketing carrot in front of you. But his stuff was like the real deal. It's like that he published and everything. So anyway, just sent him a letter and like said, thank you and everything. And he replied back and he's like, dude, this is awesome. He's like, most of my audience is like people in their 40s and 50s. So it's really cool. I have a younger guy. So that kind of started like, he just became kind of like my online mentor. And he would like, you know, check in on me and I would like send him stuff that I was doing as far as workouts and stuff go. So that's kind of like how I got brought into the fold with Jay. I just sent him a thank you email one day. But anyway, like through that, I learned
and
a lot.
And he responded.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Cause he, as you know, he doesn't really respond to a lot of people cause he gets like 700 emails an hour.
Well, this is what I love about this community and being a part of that world is that A, he responds to, I don't know how he chooses the people he responds to, but he chose to write and back to you. He responds to me as well. But I just wrote a letter because there are these internet marketers who sell things and you buy them. And then they say, oh, send me an email and connect with me, right? I just did this with a company because I was like, let's see if they're going to respond to me. Let's just see. It's been weeks. So I finally wrote to the customer service and said, hey, I reached out to your, you know, the CEO because he responded to me about something and nothing has happened. Is he going to respond? And they're like, oh my gosh, we're so sorry. He's so busy. I'm like, then why do you even send out that email that says I respond to all my emails personally, right?
You know what? You want to know the secret behind that? I'm sure you do know.
Please tell me. Tell our listeners.
It's the email service providers. When you reply to one of their emails, you get basically it ranks that email sender is higher now because it's getting replies from the people that it goes out to. So if you take your average internet marketer, they may have like an email list of 5, 10, 15,000 people. And they're lucky if they have like a 25% open rate, because most people like don't read the emails. And the lower and lower that gets, the worse and worse the deliverability for their emails get. But if they get replies from people, then it upgrades their score in the sending system. So they get like better ratings. So that's why they say that in a lot of those like pre-written emails. They're like, hey, send us an email, because what they're trying to do when they get replies, it sends like a note back to these big email server providers that like, okay, this is a good sender. So like, we're going to put them in the primary inbox and make sure it doesn't go to spam. So
it's annoying.
Yeah. But to that point, what's funny is I had sent a bunch of emails like that to other like real estate agent podcasts that I had listened to and gotten value out of. And most of those people had way smaller audiences than Jay, but never got a response from any of them. But like Jay, who, you know, like, even at that time, years ago, like had a decent following, sent me an email back. So it's funny how the universe works.
Tamar, have you sent out an email to one of those people?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay, don't.
Because
do it.
No.
But anyway, to go back to the story. So started like mentoring under Jay, and I didn't mention before, but I was an athlete my whole life. So I played football from the age of 7 years old, and I played Division I college football at Wake Forest University, and was a walk-on there, but earned a scholarship in my second year, and then started there for 3 years, was a team captain, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. But in that process, like I would say kind of like once an athlete, always an athlete. And I always tell people, even now, my life is just me reconciling the fact that I want to play football and I don't get to do that anymore. So like my business and my relationship and stuff is like me applying like football mind to all that stuff. So for me, it was like important to figure out something that I was really passionate about, because otherwise I just couldn't have done it. I couldn't have applied that same amount of energy into it. But anyway, around the age of 26, 27, I started to notice like I just didn't really feel good. And again, I'd been an athlete my whole life. I was very lean. I'd actually even competed in a natural bodybuilding show. I ate perfectly, you know, like maybe a cheat meal here and there a couple times a month, but like ate perfectly, slept perfectly, like slept 8 hours a night, did all of the like normie biohacking stuff to optimize your health. And I was like, I just don't feel good in the afternoons. Obviously I was stressed out with work, cause I was like building a real estate business. So I was stressed out with work, but it wasn't enough where I would just like crash at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, what is going on? I'm taking all the vitamins, all those supplements, you know, this, that, and the other. And I knew Jay's stuff about testosterone because I read the book, and I was like, well, let me go get my blood work done just to kind of see where I'm at. And I got two tests done, and on both of them, one of them, my total testosterone was like a 162, and then the other one, it was an 88, which if you don't know what that means, that's basically like in the levels of like where most healthy women would be, especially like the 88 level. We can talk about that more later too, but I think most women now are deficient in testosterone as well. But anyway, I was like, okay, so there's obviously something wrong. So Jay hooked me up with a doctor. I had like a battery of tests done, because when you're in your 20s, most doctors don't want to prescribe you testosterone, because not that it isn't necessary, but basically the FDA audits them. And if they have a bunch of patients that are under 30 years old that they're writing scripts for testosterone to, they're going to draw the ire of the FDA and, you know, attract, you know, this like, hey, what are you doing? You're writing prescriptions for testosterone for these guys in their 20s. So they have to do all these tests with different medications and stuff. But come to find out that basically because of all the traumatic brain injury I had had as a football player, which I had never had anything like catastrophic, but when you play linebacker for 16, 17 years, those hits add up. And especially when you play at a very high level like I did. So basically what happens is when you have repeated head trauma, the pituitary gland will shut down the production of LH and FSH, which signals to the testes to produce testosterone. So basically my body no longer produced the requisite amount of testosterone that I would need to be healthy because of the brain trauma that I had. And that's something that most football players, if you play even in high school, but definitely college, mm-hmm. have happening to them, and they just don't realize it. So I was just perceptive enough to like understand. And luckily I had come in contact with Jay to do that. But I know all the guys that I played with, they get their blood work done now and they're in their 30s. All of them have the same thing. All of them have testosterone sub 200. And these are healthy guys too. They're not fat. They're not inflamed. Like, you know, they're ex-athletes and most of them work out still. So that's very common. Like I wasn't like a special snowflake in that sense. But anyway, that's how I got on the hormone optimization journey. So I started using testosterone when I was 27 years old. I've been doing it for 4 years now, and it's absolutely changed my life. And I also at that time too, got into peptides, learning all about that with Jay. Now I'm blessed and fortunate enough to work with him and help coach people and teach people about how to use, you know, peptides, testosterone, and all that stuff. So that's kind of how I came into it. And it was kind of a weird journey usually because someone doesn't find that out when they're in their 20s. But I'm sure we'll talk about today. Like, I would say most of the world's actually experiencing the same deficiency that I had in my 20s.
Well, I think that's it right there. I think people are completely, thank you for sharing your story, but I think people are really depleted. You know, if we look around at just our population here in the States, especially here in the States, you know, I was at the airport recently and just looking at the people and looking at what they're eating and what are the choices at the airport to eat and just thinking, God, this is just horrific. And then watching moms with their kids and watching what they're eating and they're just, it's mindlessness. This is my big, you know, this is what I've been teaching in my classes right now, this whole topic around mindlessness and how it's really degrading our human processy, right? It's like, so for people, you know, who are listening, our listeners are usually women. If they have a partner, male, gender, what would be some of the symptoms that they may, like, you know, their husband's like, I don't know what's going on, babe. What would be some of the things that they could say, hey, maybe you need to check this out?
Well, it's funny because the telltale old symptom of like people thinking of low testosterone, immediately what comes to everyone's head? Low libido. Oh, my husband doesn't have libido, or I don't have libido as a woman, must be low testosterone. Funny enough, even for me at those low levels, I wasn't really suffering from low libido. Now, it wasn't like my libido is now, but I was like still like had a good sex drive and like had, you know, like I wasn't complete, like a complete eunuch in that sense. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I would dispel the myth that like the first thing that could be indicative of low testosterone is libido issues, because that's what most people think. Just like your like average person kind of thinks like, oh yeah, you would have low libido. That would mean you have low testosterone for men or for women. Now you guys will probably laugh. To me, the number one sign and symptom and experience I had when I had low testosterone, depression and anxiety. So for me, during those years, I didn't really talk about this. I went through a time where I was very depressed and very anxious. And I thought it was just from like working and being stressed out and stuff. But it was because my hormones weren't optimized. And basically, hormones affect our neurotransmitter levels in the brain. And so what's kind of messed up about our system is you have people that go see a doctor or a psychiatrist suffering from depression or anxiety. Well, the doctor will write them a prescription for an SSRI, which ends up boosting their serotonin, may make them feel okay in the short term, but in the long term, it will suppress testosterone levels and it will not do anything to the other neurotransmitters that are so important for motivation and mood, which are dopamine and norepinephrine. So ironically enough, to me, like the biggest symptoms were depression and anxiety. Well, how many men and women, but more so women, do we know today the number one problem they're suffering from is depression or anxiety? And so anxiety. I would say, look at that first. If you have those issues and that's something you struggle with on a daily basis, it is not an SSRI deficiency. No human being walking the face of the earth has an SSRI deficiency, but very oftentimes you will have a testosterone deficiency. You will have a mineral deficiency. Mm-hmm. You will have a micronutrient deficiency. So I always say, look at those first.
Okay, let's go down. Okay, the micronutrient deficiency. Okay, go Tamar, go ahead.
I just want to say, this is what drives me crazy about our medical system. And I'm up in Canada, but it's like instantly, oh, we'll just give you a pill for this. Here, this will make you feel better. But you really have to advocate for yourself and understand that it could be so much more. I mean, you know, myself as a woman, I'm finally going to see a doctor out of country because my own doctor's like, well, just do diet and exercise. And if you're feeling down, well, we can put you on antidepressants. Okay, well, I already know part of my problem is my genetics. So, okay, carry on with what you're going to talk about. But I, as you're talking, like, I get really passionate about this, especially now as I get older, because I want to live a long life. And I can, but I feel like our medical system really kind of stops that if we don't wake up and start to advocate for ourselves. That's my rant.
I think there's so much in advocating. Exactly. And we found out, Hunter, I do DNA. So we found out that actually Tamar's her DRD, the SNPs are, she's not getting the dopamine essentially, right? That neurotransmitter is just depleted all the time. And so people don't know this information. The doctors don't know this. They weren't educated in this. So now I think we're really lucky in the sense that we have this technology and we have the capability to find out about our genes. We can advocate for ourselves. We can get our own blood. We can go and have our own labs drawn now. And so I think a part of like my mission is letting people know that, yeah, you can go and get your labs drawn by yourself. Like people are still afraid to do that, which I find just, I was just talking to somebody yesterday about it. And she's like, well, I'm just going to Kaiser. And I was like, no, don't. She's like, but aren't they going to give me all the information I need? I'm like, I can't even have this conversation because no, they're not. So let's get back to the peptides, because peptides for me have been absolutely magical. And if you don't know what peptides are, I want to invite you to check out, you know, Jay's work and really go down the rabbit hole. I've written a newsletter on it. I've written a post about it, but peptides are these short chain amino acids. Did I say that right?
Yes. Yeah.
That are, they're less than 30 long, right? Less than 30 chain long. And they, our body just eats them up, loves them. They're innate to the body and they support us. So one of the things that I've noticed is that there's a huge difference when I'm on the peptides and when I'm not. Can we talk about that? Because I don't understand it, but I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah. So which ones, I would guess, I would say just like getting started, which ones do you notice like the biggest on when you're on and off when you're off?
BPC-157.
Okay. Yeah. So there is their whole host of reasons. I love BPC-157. No one really talks about this except for me. I had a bunch of videos on my old YouTube channel that got deleted about so this, but BPC-157 is basically a peptide that helps with inflammation. So it helps suppress inflammation, also helps with the formation of new blood vessels. So getting oxygenation to areas that you may have pain or injuries in. Now, most people know BPC-157 to help heal injuries, which it does an amazing job of doing. But there's also something that's going on with BPC-157. It's systemic inflammation. So the reason that you probably feel amazing, and I don't know if you used it like in a site injury, or if you just use it subcutaneously for like overall inflammation, but when we use it, and I love using it periodically, you know, like 8 weeks on, 8 weeks off, or just like once or twice a week throughout the year to suppress systemic inflammation in the body. Now, the reason you feel so good is because our environment is so toxic that we are getting overloaded with oxidative stress from the chemicals in the air, the water, the food, all the nasty things around us, all the Wi-Fi that's around us, all the computers and stuff that we're around every day. We are bombarded right now. And BPC-157 works to suppress the systemic inflammation and oxidative stress that is caused by all of those things that are doing damage to us. So even if you were doing everything right, so if you had a perfect diet, perfect training, perfect like sleep, all of that stuff dialed in, this is where a lot of people get it wrong. You are still going to have something that probably doesn't feel right. Now, I would tell everyone to do those things first, but as we age, there is too much toxic stuff in our environment that is going to prevent us from being healthy. So the reason you probably feel great, especially like overall, is because one, it's suppressing the inflammation, but here's the other thing too. When we get that oxidative stress and inflammation, we have it in our brain. And so what no one really talks about with BPC-157 is it's suppressing inflammation throughout the whole body, but especially our brain. It actually helps the permeability of the blood-brain barrier, meaning like the good stuff can get in the brain and the bad stuff can't. And BPC-157 helps with that too. So myself, having had a lot of traumatic brain injury in the past, when I use BPC-157, it helps minimize the inflammation because we get these inflammatory proteins in our brain when you have head trauma. It helps minimize the inflammation in the brain, which allows for better neurotransmitter function, which causes better mood, better drive, better motivation, better discipline, all those things that, you know, we associate with like feeling good, BPC-157 does. So yes, of course, it helps with like healing you like a torn shoulder or a, you know, knee injury or something like that. It does wonders for that. But if you just use it just from like what I would call like a maintenance dose, it helps suppress the inflammation, particularly the inflammation in the brain that makes us feel good. So you kind of get this like cognitive boost. Yep. And on top of that, your workouts are better because your joints feel good and everything. So it's just a like win-win all around. And there's no side effects, at least that I've seen in myself or thousands of people that I've coached.
No, I haven't had any kind of side effects. I mean, it's been all positive since I've been doing it. And just the clarity, even I feel like even my, like my presence changes, right? Because that inflammation is suppressed and it opens the channel to connect and to be more present, which is what I'm all about, right? I want to be in the present moment with another being or with myself. And like, I ran out of the BP-157 and then I didn't order it. And I was like, and then I just forgot. I'm like, what's going on? How come I'm not like, what? I lost my groove. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I got to get it. I got to get more. I got to get more. Like, it's so good. What's another peptide that you don't leave home without, so to speak?
So when I travel, there's a few that I always keep one. One is BPC-157, but I also pair it with one called TB-500. So TB-500 works on a lot of the same pathways as BPC-157, but I think it's even a little bit stronger just in my experience of like testing the two, but you can use them together. So TB-500 is the same thing. So I keep those, you know, when I'm traveling or with me, like I always have some mixed in my fridge at all times. One, in case you get injured, but then also two, you just feel really good. So it does the same thing as far as like your cognition and then overall inflammation in the body. Another one that I really like, and this probably wouldn't be something that other people talk about, is melanotan 1. So melanotan 1 is known as a tanning peptide. So it was originally developed to help people with skin cancer or skin diseases to help heal like skin function and everything. But the reason I say that is because one, if you are traveling, especially to somewhere where it's really sunny, it's going to help you prevent sunburn. So I've used that like in Mexico for an entire week. I would use that instead of sunscreen. And this is like during the summertime in Mexico, very close to the equator. And I did not get sunburnt once. Okay, so I got cool. A little bit of red, you know, that was like being outside on the beach all day, got a little red, but never sunburnt. And that's really powerful in that sense. But what's cool about melanotan 1 is in helping us absorb sunlight better. Mm-hmm. It, in my opinion, there's no like a lot of like scientific research on this, but you know, through learning this from Jay and in my own experience, it kind of helps upregulate consciousness or connection with source, which makes sense because if you are absorbing sunlight better, you just feel good. So how many times have you been at the beach all day and just feel like you had the worst day ever? Well, usually rarely, because you're out in the sun, you're grounded, you're in the water, like you're doing things, you know, most people are on vacation, but even still, you're getting sunlight. And basically I always say like melanotan 1 allows you to condense down like 30 minutes of sunlight into 4 hours. Hmm. Or I might've said that other way around, but like basically get 4 hours of sunlight in 30 minutes because it upregulates your melanin receptors in the skin and allows you to absorb sunlight better. So that's another one. So BPC-157, TB-500, melanotan 1. And then there's another one that I really like called GHKCU. Yeah. And that's one that's in a lot of topical creams and formulations, but you can get it as an injectable. And I like the injectable. One, because it helps with collagen synthesis, which is obviously great for ladies because you have like, it's going to help with like skin wrinkles, you know, like fine lines, all those things. But it also helps with collagen synthesis around injuries. So if you did have like knee pain, shoulder pain, anything like that, you could inject it into those areas and it's going to help with collagen synthesis there to help with muscle recovery, joint repair, and all that stuff. So I would say that's kind of like my stack. And then the only thing that I'm leaving out would be a growth hormone peptide. And I actually use human growth hormone itself, which is a peptide. But if I were to not have that, I would have ipramorelin or tesamorelin or a blend of both of those two. And the reason is being they just help burn fat, build muscle, and help with recovery and deeper sleep and everything there. So I would say that's like the stack that I always have made in my fridge at all times.
Yeah, I love my growth hormone. Love. Changed my life. Changed my life. It's just freaking unbelievable.
Yeah.
The GHKCU, GHKCU. I'm just thinking, I'm going to ask you a question because I have a client and she's working on a knee surgery. So I should just have her inject that right into her knee.
Mm-hmm. You could do BPC, TB-500 and GHK all together.
I have her on the TB. TB.
Yeah. Put them all in the same syringe and inject it right around there. And it will help and work together with those other two really well.
So good. And then with the GHK, so you're not shooting that into your face. You're putting that topically on.
So I will do subcutaneous injections of it, so like into my belly or into like an injury site. I do not do it in my face, but people do that. So people will do it into their face. It would hurt really, really bad. People also, if you're really crazy, if you are losing hair, you can inject it into your scalp, and it does help with hair growth in the scalp. But I thankfully, like, I don't have to worry about hair loss, at least for right now. And so I don't have to do that. But yeah, like, and I'm not super like with my skin. I'm not going to like, I take care of my skin, but I'm not going to inject it because it burns like into like my cheeks or eyes. But I guess if the alternative is getting Botox, it's probably like hurts the same as that. So
that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, well, if ladies are getting Botox, is it the like, is it the same? I mean, is it going to be better than the Botox? I don't know.
I don't think it would hurt to do that before Botox. I'm not saying you still might not want to get Botox, you know, like, I know that's not like the healthiest thing to do, but ladies are going to do it anyway. So like,
ladies are looking for youth.
If you're going to do it, I'd say like, hey, try GHK for like 3 months to see if it does anything for you. I don't have any protocols on like facial injections for it, but I know people do it. But I would try that first, see how it works. And if you get results with it, or at least like stems the tide of you having to get Botox less frequently, I think you could do that. So
it'd be super cool. Melanotan one, I'm just thinking my husband's going, diving, and he has an allergy to the sun. And I'm thinking, oh, this might be a good thing for him then.
So does he get burnt, or is it like, does he have an alert, like, or does he just get like hives and like rash?
He literally has allergic reaction to the sun. Like if he gets too much sun, too much is like being out in the sun. He breaks out. Hmm. Yeah.
It will only help. So like, yeah, I would say like Melanotan one, again, you might get like a little flushing when you take it in the first 5 minutes, like a niacin flush. But other than that, there's like no side effects of it, especially compared to Melanotan 2, which has a lot of side effects. So I would try it, you know, try it at a low dose, especially if he's going to be outside, and just see how he reacts. And I don't know what the allergy would be coming from, but if anything, it's going to enhance the melanocorticoid receptors and how those like absorb sunlight. So it may, if it's like an overload of sunlight, it basically is going to like help him with his melanin receptor sites from like being able to deal with more sun, which is why it prevents you from getting burnt. So it would only help, I think.
That's what I'm thinking. Let's talk about what else, Tamar?
Well, I would like to ask, you know, what's the connection between peptides, hormones, and spirituality? Right, because we're big on spirituality on this show. And I mean, I've just enjoyed this conversation. It's fascinating. I'm like, well, I want to try that. And I think a lot of our listeners, right, as we start to age, because we want to feel young, right? I mean, I had knee surgery on both my knees. So when you were talking about peptides that would help with joint pain and stuff like that, I have osteoarthritis, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have stuff like that. But can you share with us kind of that connection between peptides, hormones, and spirituality? Because I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah. So that's actually kind of my, what I would say my mission is in life now. Obviously I teach people about peptides, hormones, fat loss, all that stuff, but it really is just a means to an end. So once you get super low body fat, you get shredded, you get ready for a photo shoot or whatever, regardless of where you're starting. But like when you get there, one day you're going to wake up and be like, okay, now what? You're going to still look in the mirror. You're still going to be the same person. You're still going to have to get out of bed in the morning. You're still going to have to decide what you're going to do with your waking hours. And to me, what I realized through hormonal optimization and everything is that it really is more of a means to be a conduit to our connection with each other and then God, which would all be kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it like a pyramid, you have our physical body, which is our physical health. And then you have the emotional or mental plane, which is like our mind health. And then you have the spiritual plane on top of that. And if your physical health is not in check and you do not have energy in your life to show up, which is why I love you guys, because you have energy. Like when you show up, you can tell even like on a call that you have energy. Those other two planes are going to be massively disconnected. And the thing that's funny in the world of the internet now is you have like a lot of like mindset coaches and life coaches, and they do great work and they help people in their life. But I don't care. And I'm only speaking from my personal experience, but I've seen this in other people I've coached. I don't care if you go meditate for 3 hours a day. I don't care if you write down 1,000 things that you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. If you don't have energy because you're in pain and you don't feel good, mm-hmm. no amount of like spiritual work, I'm not saying this is not valuable, but no amount of spiritual work is really going to get you anywhere because you don't have the requisite physical vibration in your body to be able to connect. And what I realized is once I got my hormones in check, once I used peptides to minimize inflammation and improve all those things, all of a sudden, now my physical body was in a place that I could show up and be like, hey, I'm not in pain anymore. I'm not just trying to make it through the day anymore. I can serve other people. And when you serve other people, that's when you actually connect with God. That's when you actually connect with source, with consciousness, whatever you want to call it. But that's where like spirituality comes into play. So I'm actually in the process of having, I've written most of it, but it's in the editing process right now. I wrote a book called Testosterone, the God Molecule. And it's basically like kind of like my journey, but then my philosophy mm-hmm. and thoughts around this, about how testosterone itself, particularly for men, but really for women too, is a necessary molecule because if you don't feel good, you're not going to want to pray, to meditate, to go out and like be of service or anything like that. If you're in pain, you're not going to want to do that. And especially for people that are low in testosterone, you're going to be depressed and you're going to be anxious. So I don't care like how grateful you are. If you're in a state of depression or anxiety and you feel like the walls are closing and you feel like you're going to like lose all your money and like everything's going to collapse around you, it's kind of hard to be grateful. But if you fix that physical part, it all of a sudden like opens up this whole new perceptual awareness around what it means to be spiritual. And you can read all the books, you can listen to all the podcasts, you can do all the guided meditations and everything. But until you actually feel good, which may not be able to be done if you're not doing those things like hormones and peptides, it's going to be really, really hard, not impossible, but really, really hard to get all that stuff in check. So like everyone always talks about like, you just got to let it flow, right? Like I would hear people all the time, like you got to be grateful. Like gratitude creates abundance mm-hmm. and all these things. And you just got to be in a state of flow. And I'd be like, yeah, but I'm severely depressed right now, or I'm like anxious and I'm like got like 7 real estate deals and I feel like the walls are collapsing in and I'm about to like pull my hair out. How am I supposed mm-hmm. to be grateful? Then I realized that, oh wait, like when I had testosterone, it gave me the resilience and the energy to be able to handle those things in my life and understand that they were part of a bigger picture. So you could take the same person and have like the same life events happen to them and have the same spiritual practice and meditation and everything. But if one person doesn't have the necessary hormones in their body to be healthy, it's going to be a whole lot harder for them to be able to connect spiritually, whatever that looks like for them, than it is for the other person that has hormones in their body.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Is a lot of us focus on one area of our life and we neglect the rest. Mm-hmm. And we think, look, we're doing so good, right? We're, you know, maybe all we're doing is going to the gym, but we're eating like garbage when we get home. It takes... Mm-hmm. You know, that spirituality aspect, the physical, the mental, I mean, it all works together. Now, you had mentioned before we started recording that you don't drink, right? And, you know, unlike us, you've never had a problem with it. So, you know, when it comes to your well-being, because I think it is getting more talked about living an alcohol-free lifestyle. And how has that impacted you, do you think?
Yeah, so... Alcohol is crazy in the sense of like there's never a greater thing to suppress your hormones and overall health than alcohol. So you wonder why it's kind of hard, or not kind of, but really hard to get hormones, really hard to get peptides, but it's pretty easy to, I could drive 30 seconds from my house right now and find alcohol in 4 or 5 different places. And if you really like want to say like, okay, well, why am I not where I want to be? Well, ask yourself, why is the world set up for you to fail? And once you realize that, you can say, oh, okay, well, like maybe I need to remove myself from that. Now, in my experience and other people that I've coached experience, alcohol creates inflammation in the body. And when you have inflammation in the body, it acts as a block to mental, emotional, and spiritual health because your physical plane is off. So even if you're exercising and dieting, right, if you have alcohol, it's going to create inflammation that acts as a barrier for you to access those other realms of like overall health and well-being. And so I've never had a problem with alcohol. Kind of like I was saying, you guys, I've maybe drank like 5 or 10 times in my whole entire life. And most of those were not like too crazy excess. It was just like, you know, at, like college party.
But Hunter, hold on. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's more than just alcohol that causes the inflammation,
right? Like it's everything that's causing the inflammation. Yes, alcohol is like this thing that we put into our body and that disrupts it. But there's the donuts that you mentioned that you have a little, you know, thing for weakness, right? Potato chips. It could be anything that we overindulge in, right? Because as somebody who suffers from substance use disorder or addiction, right, it's the mental twist that we carry around with us that we tend to hoard or take food into us or whatever that substance is. It could even be, you know, gambling too much, right? It's disconnecting us from our source, our connection. So I don't know where I'm going with this, but I feel like there's something, there's so much in our world today that is causing disruption. And if you mentioned this three layer, you know, the body, the mind, and the spirit, which I think is brilliant and beautiful. I love that. If people are meditating or they're trying so desperately to take care of their spirit, but their body is being destroyed by the food that they put into it, right? So there's this conflict, an internal and external. What would you say, like, how can they change that? Like, what is going to be the tipping point that's going to change that so they can get to the body? Because I agree with you. If you don't get into the body and change the body, you can't connect to that source on that deep level every day. You just can't. But, so what do you think, what could be the one thing that she could do or he could do today that could start that ball rolling to make that change?
I think, I mean, there's a lot of answers to that. I think though people have to ask themselves what they want to get out of their life. So if you could right now, if you're listening to this, if you could write down on a piece of paper what your purpose for being here is, I would say you're further ahead than like 99% of people that have ever existed. Because most people, if you walked up to the street right now and asked them, hey, what's your purpose in life? They'd be like, well, I'm a lawyer. Or I'm a, you know, like I'm a mom. I'm like these things, which are not bad things to be. But if you don't have a bigger context and mission for those three planes, your physical, mind, and spirit, is particularly the mind and spirit of like who the self is and what the self exists here in this incarnation to do, then your precepts for every decision you're going to make in life is vastly off. So it's like the plane that goes like 1 degree and then it's going to end up like in 30 minutes, going to be like way off course. And so for me, I got really serious at a young age, and I'm not saying I'm better or anything like that, but from a young age, I had like very, very defined goals of what I was going to do. So up until I was 23, that was to be an NFL football player. And every single thing that I did, like on a day in and day out basis, was tied back to that. And I love that. Like that was like my mission. It was like, hey, I'm 18, like I'm going to be an NFL football player. So I'm going to eat healthier. I'm not going to drink and all those things. But that's not going to be everybody's thing. Everybody's like not shooting to be an NFL football player. But you have to ask yourself, who am I and what am I doing here? So now my mission in life, if someone came up to me and said, hey, what's your purpose? It's to make the world a healthier and more prosperous place. So like whatever business I'm working on, whatever like interactions I'm having with people, those should all be tied back to that bigger goal of me serving to make the world a healthier place. Because obviously that's, you know, something we struggle with, but that's what I feel called to do. Now that took me like a while to like sit down and think about like, okay, how do I do that? What businesses does that look like and whatever, but it could be anything for anybody. But most people are so afraid of having to confront that within themselves because it's like, it could shake the very foundation and core of your existence
100%.
Down to this, you know, like the very essence of who you are. Mm-hmm. So like, for instance, like my mom, my youngest brother, who's 13 years younger than me, just moved out to go to college and she's raised. So I have three younger brothers. I'm the oldest, four boys. My mom has raised four kids for the last
she's a 30, saint.
Yeah. She's actually a professional mom. Like I'm actually working with her right now to try to teach her. And we all four played college football as well. Oh, even my youngest, God, who's going to play college football. And I'm actually working with her right now to like codify her knowledge and experience into like an information business, yeah. because literally moms come up to her and like, I'll pay you if you can sit down with me to yeah. teach me about like how to raise a strong masculine yeah. son that can play college football. Mm-hmm. But anyway, her identity for the last 31 years of her life has been raising 4 sons. Mm-hmm. And for a certain time, she was like very spiritually connected to that. But now that's like transitioned. So she's going through this mm-hmm. period of having to ask herself, who am I and what am mm-hmm. I showing up to do? Am I just going to, for the rest of my waking years, which she has a long time, but like, am I just going to be like serving the needs of like everyone around me and being this like constant, like, because a lot of women do this. They get in this state of like, I got to take care of my husband, my kids. And then when the kids go away, then they take care of their parents and it turns into like this one thing, yep. which maybe that is like some people are called to do that. But a lot of people like never go in and say like, who am I and what am I called to do here? And what is my mission? And when you can ask yourself that, this is where it goes back to the alcohol. Because like, oh, does drinking alcohol serve that mission? Well, for most people, if they have to go inside and figure out that mission, alcohol will most likely, I would rarely see this, be any way serving to that mission. So I think that would be like yeah. the biggest thing I could tell someone. If right now you can't stop what you're doing and write down on a piece of paper in 1 to 2 sentences what your purpose is for here, go do that first. And I guarantee you alcohol probably is not going to have anything to do with it.
Yeah, it could be alcohol. It could be the potato chips. It could be the coffee that I was drinking every day. It could be cigarettes. It could be anything, right? Anything that's distracting you from this, your heart. Your heart has a message for you to listen to. And what I'm hearing from you, Hunter, is that you, like, your mission is so, it's so bold and so, like, it is you. Like, I know that your mission is to help other people to find that. And you're doing that through optimization. Tamar, you work with people with purpose. Like, that's your whole goal. That's your jam.
It is my jam. And when you were talking about that, I was like getting all giddy because, you know, I was literally yesterday talking to somebody, a friend of mine who's been taking care of her husband while he's had needs and been depressed and going through all this stuff. And now that he has come out of that and found kind of his purpose, all of a sudden now she's in a state where she's depressed. She's like, I don't know who I am anymore. And you know, I love having conversations with people about purpose, and I will usually listen because I've had people say, I don't believe in that stuff. Like, I don't, you know, and I think our purpose evolves, but it's actually scientific, right? Yeah. It increases well-being.
Yeah.
You know, it's scientifically known to create that intrinsic motivation. And so today, everything that I do, I look, does this align with my purpose? You know, mm-hmm. and am I helping people create a life so good that they don't want to go back to the life they were living previously? And so I'm so glad that you brought up purpose because I think it brings me into a more spiritual state when I'm living on purpose and there's not so much friction. Things might be hard, right? Because accomplishing something that aligns with my purpose might not necessarily be easy, but it's sure going to feel good after it's done and it's worth it. And you keep that internal motivation. Therefore, if you're working out, right, if you're eating healthy, if it aligns with your purpose, you're going to accomplish it. So, and we don't need alcohol to do that. So.
Exactly. Yeah. To that point too, to talk about how it's not going to be easy. On the day after Christmas, which was, you know, a little, almost 2 months ago now, I woke up and had an email at 8 o'clock in the morning and it said that my YouTube channel had been deleted. And I was like, this can't be right. It's a joke. Right. And for context, my YouTube channel wasn't huge. I think I had like 2,500 subscribers. So it was growing really fast and it was like starting to get a lot of traction, but I had been making videos for 4 years on there. Mm-hmm. Most of them were health videos. There were like some mindset videos because sometimes I get, you know, just passionate about talking about that stuff. And the first ones were not very good by any means, but it was like, it was cool because it was this like catalog of me mm-hmm. over 4 years of time of like my thoughts. And then there, in addition to that, there was a lot of good teaching material on there that helped a lot of people with peptides and everything. So I think there were like somewhere in the neighborhood of like 450 videos, like 500 hours of content. And that was completely wiped away because they said my content was harmful and dangerous. Now, in one way, like I was upset for like a few hours. And then I was like, okay, well, I mean, this doesn't really change anything. Luckily I have an email list. I have my, you know, work that I do with Jay and everything. And then I was like, well, in one way, this is kind of cool because my purpose is to make the world a healthier place. And if I'm getting shut down because so many people are finding my information and using that to get off of like pharmaceutical drugs and mainstream medicine and all these things, then I'm living my purpose. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So like, it actually motivated me more because I was like, hey, it's working. Like in one, like I kind of like later in the day, I was like, oh, it's working now. Because for so long, I was like, is this working?
You were clear enough to see that and to hear it and to feel it, right? You were clear enough, right? Your body's clean, your mind is clean, your spirit is open.
Yeah,
exactly. Right? Because that could happen to someone else and they would be fuming and crazy and freaked out because they're not taking care of their body, they're not taking care of their mind, they're not taking care of their spirit, right? And resentment would build and then they would get in that cycle of being stuck again. So there's something to be said about taking care of all three parts, that layer that you beautifully shared with us, and being open to that resource, that universal connection, that just that yumminess. I used to call it the ocean of yum.
Yeah.
Like the G-O-D, just, oh yeah. My God, everybody needs it.
Isn't it crazy?
We don't talk about it enough.
Yeah. And it's crazy too, when you're not in that place, you get so pissed and annoyed when you hear other people talk about it.
Right.
I know I did. You're like, shut up. Like that is like the biggest airy fairy woo-woo nonsense and has nothing to do with my life. And then when you actually have the direct experience, you're like, how could someone be such a hater and like, you know, be that? And it's like, wait, well, I was that not too long ago. And for me, that was like the difference in hormonal optimization because it changes like the perception that you have of your environment and your purpose and everything. But you know, it's funny to go back to the alcohol thing. Cause I was thinking about that. It's like, it's crazy. And the people that I've coached, I always say like, you know, take 30 days off of alcohol and just see how you feel. If you can make it 30 days. Mm. And most people, when they stop drinking for 30 days, unless they have like, unless it's like really severe where they're like completely dependent on it. But most people that just do it, you know, like 2 or 3 times a week, casually on the weekends or whatever for social reasons, they don't do it for a month. And they're like, man, I feel really good. They're like, I actually don't really need alcohol, but then they get sucked back into like a wedding or like some party or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, a little bit's not going to hurt. And then they like go back on the hamster wheel. But it's like they, for 30, like it's usually 30 days seems to me to be like the mark that they'll hit. And they're like, oh, I don't really need that. And it doesn't really serve me anymore. But they're like, who cares? Like, I'll go back to it and it's cool. But it's like, if they could have just like stayed in that frequency for a little bit longer, a lot of people will get out of it. And then they're like, oh, I don't want that anymore. And they actually are able to perceptually like think, oh, now what's my purpose? And they kind of like climb the ladder, you know?
That's it. Exactly. And you just said it, they get out of the frequency, right? They change their frequency. Their tone changes once they leave those items alone, whether it be too much sugar, too much alcohol, whatever your thing is, it changes the body, it just changes the structure and the frequency. I love that. Tamar, this, I don't even know where to go. We got a lot going on here.
We do, but I think it was such a great conversation. And I mean, it ended up talking about purpose, which, I mean, we're all three of us are here because we have a purpose.
Yeah. 100%. Hunter, I adore you. Thank you for hanging out with us. We're going to send our listeners over to Zero Oats, the most delicious oatmeal. So good. That's like a whole other story.
And it's sugar free.
And it's sugar free. Yeah, Tamar, hello.
Do you ship to Canada?
Not yet. But once I get back on stock in Amazon, I do have clearance to go on Amazon Canada. So it should be like once I get all that worked out, it should be because the way it works is like I directly, like if I sell it through my website, have to have like my own permits and stuff to ship to Canada. Yeah. But if I go through Amazon, they have all of that taken care of. So like I would just ship it to Amazon and I'm approved for that now. And so like they would handle it and send it to Canada and everything.
I'll bring it up when I come to the wedding.
Yeah. So just hang on, Canadian friends. It's coming. Yay, it's coming to Canada.
Hunter, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. It's just been delightful. And Tamar, it's always good.
It's been fun. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thank you guys. It was awesome. So I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Laughing Without Liquor. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Living in recovery can be a blast, and we're glad you're laughing without the liquor with us. We hope you'll join us again in the next episode. Until then, take care.